White Aryan Resistance calling. White Aryan Resistance calling. This is the White Aryan Resistance Radio Network. Your host for today's show is Tom Metzger, Terrible Tommy. So get a spot of tea, sit down and relax, because it's time for another show on the White Aryan Resistance Radio Network.
How do you like that, the way I stay incognito and change the names of the organization all the time? So-called organization. Well, that's because it's not an organization. Just a bunch of people who want to do the right thing by their race. Yeah. And I'm coming to you from hell today, here in California where I'm at. Yeah, I think it's about 115 out there. Man, I'm staying inside my bunker, I'll tell you. It's wild. So wild, I was outside in the country a while ago and saw a bunch of cows over there. And milk cows in a dairy, and they're only giving down evaporated milk. It's so hot. Well, we started running some shows up on TalkShoe.com, I guess it is. TalkShoe. We're going to start putting shows up there, and archive shows. We may do a few interviews up there if we could find somebody that's not into the hopelessly bogged down right wing. But don't come on there if you're a Hollywood Nazi and want to be on my show. And don't come on there if you want to be a Hollywood Klansman on my show. You know, don't do that. Don't come around if you're into that Jew Christianity either. I know a few people I sort of tolerate that are into that stuff, but as far as doing anything to promote it, no way. Christianity's a Jewish scam, and it's always been that way. And even when it wasn't a Jewish scam, it's just a plain white scam. The wrong kind of white people. I've seen over and over people who were supposedly loyal racists, racial separatists, that when they got picked up by the cops and tossed in a jail or in the prison, they revert to Christianity. Suddenly they re-find Jesus. Oh, I was wrong. I followed these evil people, these Nazis and people like that. And I renounce all of that. I'm going back to the baby Jesus. I think they're a security risk in most cases, not all cases. David Tate is a strong identity man, and he was a totally trustworthy guy and a stand-up guy. You run into one like that once in a while, but the bulk, no. Believe me, because I've known all these identity leaders over the years. I've known them all. And most of them have feet of clay, believe me. Just want to deal with people who are radical. Yeah, radical, but level-headed. How about that? Incidentally, I'm quite proud of this last weekend up in San Francisco, whether those right-wingers, who evidently weren't even declared racist or not, whether they intended to do it or not, they really put a screw into the side of the neo-Bolsheviks. Because what happened? They made a big deal about showing up, and then they didn't show up. And the neo-Bolsheviks, you can read them like a book. They showed up, and not having any right-wingers to beat on, they beat on each other and the cops. And that's what we like. We like to see that. They're trying, the left-wing's trying to, or the neo-Bolsheviks. I'm not going to call them left, because there's a lot of people on the left I can respect. And some on the right I can respect. But they're trying to put together that Occupy movement again. They'll probably kick it off in a big demonstration in New York City or Chicago or someplace like that. And that's great. I don't want any of you swinging dicks to go down there and interfere with them. Because if you don't go down there to interfere with them, and they got no excuse and no right wing to beat up on, they're going to end up beating up on the cops. And that's beautiful. I mean, I'm sorry, cops. But that's the way it is. You don't give us a break, so why should we care about you? So anyhow, this last weekend was great. Another thing the right wing, if they had any brains, would do is call for these quick deals where everybody comes together at a certain place, and they do that with cell phones, let each other know, hey, let's all 5,000 of us meet at this corner, and then they have a riot. Of course, the right wing, if they try to do that, they maybe 25 would show up. But that could kick it off. That could kick it off. But you need, and no cops around. Don't say, we need cop protection. That's an insult. I never, ever did that in my life and never will. Never be ferried around in a police bus or any of that bullshit. We want the cops to go home. That's what we want. We'll take care of ourselves. If we get our ass beat, that's our problem. Neo-Bolsheviks, we have smashed them before and we can smash them again, but you're going to have to change your tactics, boys and girls, and I don't think it's going to be very successful rolling around in the gutter with these morons. But do that all over the country. You know, put out press releases. You're going to have a big right-wing, alt-right, neo-Nazi, white supremacist meeting at such and such in the middle of the town. And just keep it that way. And see what happens. But don't show up. For goodness sake, don't show up. I love the term neo-Bolshevik. I don't know why I didn't come up with it before, because they're always yapping about the fascist, which is an outmoded term from World War II. I don't know any specific fascist or fascist party or anything like that, because most of these guys on the right have never studied anything about fascism. They know about racism, but fascism? What the hell is that? But anyhow, the left love that fascist term. I think it's a mistake to use it for, but as long as they're making a mistake, let them do it. Other terms work better. Yeah, they do. But neo-Bolshevik, that's the perfect term to counteract this fascist crap. You know, we've had generations come around since the fascists. And when's the last fascist party council or party meeting that you went to? I don't think they can't even remember what a fascist was. It's just a bunch of people that want things their way. That's all fascism. It's just like communism, a bunch of people who want things their way. That's all any of these ideologies are, a bunch of people who want things their way. And so why not be proud of it? You know, we're white racial separatists. We want it our way, and we don't care really how we get it. Surrounded by anti-fascists, and we're surrounded by people who they call fascists, who never read a book about Kropotkin or other leaders of the fascist struggle. A lot of things in the fascist struggle that are pretty good, as far as organizing and get something done. And the communists the same way. There's a lot of things they did correct as far as assuming power, you know. Tactics are not oriented to any specific individual or group. Tactics are tactics. In fact, when you get down to it, it's the neo-fascists and the neo-Bolsheviks both use about the same tactics. I've been watching a series, a Canadian series, called Intelligence. And every once in a while you run into a good show like that. And if you want to see how double-crossing and infiltration and double-crossing and all that works, watch that series. It's on Netflix. And everybody is infiltrating everybody, and everybody's screwing everybody, and the feds are working with organized crime against other organized crime people. It's really good, and it's a fast-moving series. That's on Netflix, and it's called Intelligence. I'll read you another letter from one of our POW friends, but I think I've changed my mind on giving names out because I don't want to have it blow back on them. They can use it against them as far as coming up for parole or anything like that. So we're not going to do that, but here's one I received today. I thank you again for your letter of 28 July and the donation of $25 to my inmate account last month. It sure is a great help. I wonder what James Mason's website looks like. I haven't gone to his website, but I'm going to, and I'll photocopy some of the stuff and send it to this prisoner. I hope it's the good old James Mason I used to know, but I have a little problem with that because when he was in prison back several years ago, and I supported James Mason all the way, he sent me a letter and said he was a Christian now, and that bothered me. So I don't know whether he was saying he was a Christian just to get out early or something like that. I don't know, but he disappeared for I think about 20 years and now he's back. Well, the book he wrote is still the great one of the great books in the movement, and so I recommend that to anybody if they can get a hold of it. I think they are going to let my brother visit me in September for a non-contact security visit for only 2 hours. We are still fighting for the 5 to 6 hour general population visits. This is typical. This individual has been fighting this for months and years, actually. These people who run these prisons, these gulags, are pretty bad. They're bad people. That's why in most countries, when the revolution overruns the prisons, they drag the guards and the wardens into the street and kill them. And I would not feel bad about that, the way these prisons are run in this country. And what's interesting is that the people on the left seem to expose this prison bullshit way more than the right. And that's another reason I'm not too keen about the right wing. It would be wonderful to get the book Unbroken Warrior by Richard Scutari. Now, I got to figure out, I have a copy, but I can't send it into federal or state prisons. I got to get it from a book dealer, and then you got to pay full price. But I'm looking around, and if I can find a source, I'll send some of these copies of that book out. It's a good book. They did a good job on it. They even talked about me. I couldn't believe it. I hope you have success in this effort about sending the books into the prison. Well, I just sent several books into the prison last week. Books that I could get from a publisher. I have these prisoners who will send me stamps, and once we get enough stamps built up in a collection, I'll buy them a book and have it sent to them. Works out pretty good. And he says here, but it must be shipped from a bookstore or the publisher. Yeah, I know that. Don't ever try to send a book directly into the prison. Maybe if the prisoner has a family visiting them, they might be able to take it in that way. I don't know. Depends probably on the prison. This Charlottesville, Virginia battle could be the start of a civil war to which Tom Chittum's 1991 book Civil War II predicted. I'm sorry, I don't think so. I don't know of any really good revolution that started on a note like that. I mean, there would have had to been a lot more dead people in the street. Sorry, boys, that's the way it is. Not that I desire it. But that's the way it is. Revolutions start with a lot of blood. Dan is going to try to get this book through Amazon.com used books or through the historic huge bookstore in Rockford. Okay. I'm trying to get transferred back to the blank blank prison in this other state in 2 or 3 months. Well, he's been trying for 2 years to get back closer to his home, but they're never going to. The thing any POW should know is to resist and say, don't ship me back to that state no matter what. I'll die before I go back to that state, and surely then they'll send you back to that state. That's the way they think. They delight in your misery. This prison is very quickly becoming dysfunctional. Well, I don't think there's any prison that is functional, because the people who run them are nutcases and paranoid, schizophrenics. Our housing unit of about 120 men has now 14 child molesters and child porn offenders, at least 21 mestizo Hispanics, non-child molester white inmates. Of these 9, only 3 of us, including me, don't use drugs. It seems out of the 250 white prisoners, 225 are drug heads. K2, Suboxone, or heroin every day. And their other main goal, besides wanting to stay hitch 12 hours a day, is to tattoo every square inch of their bodies. Well, you know, if you ever, when you get out of prison and you got all those tattoos, the easiest way to track somebody by the cops or the feds or anybody else is tattoos. Anytime they arrest a skinhead, I know that they photograph all the tattoos, which makes it much easier for them to follow you around and catch you and put you back into prison. Also, it's amazing how many white prisoners here, 20 to 45 years old, are addicted to watching and listening to hip-hop and rap, black music on BET, Black Entertainment TV. I believe the white population of America has less than 8 years to fight back, or the pure white Aryan, Celtic, Nordic, Lombard stock people will, for all intents and purposes, face extinctions. I almost feel sorry for Donald Trump. Whatever decision or agenda he has will be damned by the mainstream media. Well, of course, the mainstream media are neo-Bolsheviks. Yeah. And I believe that. I agree with that. Please give me your opinion. Is the result of Charlottesville, Virginia, and vandalizing, removing Confederate statues? Well, I don't, you know, if it was just a tactical situation, other than removing the statues, is pissing off a lot of people, and probably some of them will end up becoming revolutionaries. Other than that, I could care less about a statue, or a flag, or a political party, or like that. The race is what's important. And, however, the specter of these people tearing down these statues, you know, has a symbolic effect on the history of the country, even though most of those guys they tear down their statues were actually criminals against the white working class. Yes, they were. And leading thousands and thousands of troops into a no-win situation, whether it's a civil war or First World War or Second World War, is insane. And so I don't emulate or worship these people they build these statues to. If they built a statue to George Lincoln Rockwell, you know, or Bob Matthews, or some of these POWs. In fact, when I had that lot up in Leith, North Dakota, I was thinking about building a statue to Bob Matthews. But I don't know whether I told you what happened there. There's only about 10 or 15 people live in the town, and they've actually got a mayor, and somehow he's been able to get control of the tax situation, which is totally unconstitutional. But forget the Constitution, that's all over. They sent me a bill for $700 taxes on a little vacant lot in the middle of nowhere. $700 I'd had to come up with. So that's how democracy works in the United States. And I'm not shocked, and so I let it go. I'm not going to, can't pay $700 for that. I could go to another town and buy a lot. They're making the laws up as they go along. And if I really cared big time about it, I'd go up there and have a talk with that son of a bitchin' mayor, so-called mayor. Do you think they're going to do anything to him for unconstitutionally and illegally doing things? Well, as long as you do it to a racist, it's okay. So, boys, we've gone beyond the pale. And as far as I'm concerned, whatever happens to other people, our enemies, is their own problem. I used to think a little more liberally about this, but I don't anymore. I don't care what happens to them. If ISIS wants to start playing games in this country, I'm not going to lift a finger. I probably couldn't stop it anyhow. But I will not lift a finger when some people go crazy in this country. I'm not going to rush out in the street with my gun or my pitchfork or whatever to defend most of the people in this country, especially their institutions and their banks and so forth. I'd say, you know, well, burn, baby, burn. Yeah. And I think I've got a lot of friends that say that too. Because I no longer will take my hat off to the flag, salute the flag, sing their so-called patriotic songs or anything like that. I will not do that anymore. I feel like a traitor if I do. This one song they keep playing around, even at the clubs and lodges, Stand Up for America and all that. And I won't stand up for it. I'll stand up for my race, but not this filthy system. And they've got no excuse. I went all the way doing all the things that Americans are supposed to do. Decades and decades till finally it's over. It's over. Not going to vote. Don't give a shit who's the president. None of that stuff counts anymore. There's another video on Hulu on TV. And I'm not telling you I sit around and watch TV all the time, but there are some good things on there to think about. This one's called The Designated Survivor. And it's about all of a sudden, supposedly, some Middle East terrorists blow up the White House and kill everybody. Except they had one situation where one person in the government was kept in a room totally separate in case something like this happened. So this guy from the, I think it was the Agricultural Department, becomes the president. And he don't know shit from Shinola about being the president. But anyhow, then the whole series is around finding out who did it and finding out that the Arabs might have been involved, but there's people in this country, American citizens, who were behind it, and one congressman was behind it. So anyhow, it's something quite interesting to watch if you are able to get Hulu on the internet. No matter what you say about Hollywood, there's a lot of writers out there who are really interesting, and they're sort of, sometimes you think, these guys fortune tellers, because many of the things that they write up and turn into TV shows actually happen. Imagination is a wonderful thing. Imagination is the mother of invention, as far as I'm concerned. Most things that you can imagine can very well come true. Well, I don't concur with my friend POW that It's almost all over, and that's it. Because things like this have happened in times past, and the race has gone through terrible times, if not from nature itself, from kings and queens and all that kind of stuff, invasions by the Mongols and everything. But the white race kept going and actually kept expanding. We've actually got about as many white people now as we did 1,000 years ago, maybe 2,000 years ago. So anyhow, as long as there's a core group that can begin to rebuild, white people are great rebuilders and builders. So not that we shouldn't be trying to avoid the crap as much as possible, but they're not going to kill the white race, and that's what pisses them off. They stomp their feet and gnash their teeth. God damn these white people, we can't get rid of them. The whole thing seems to me like the Walking Dead series, you know. I see the Walking Dead as the Negroes and other opponents of the white race. And where some people watch a series like that and see it just as it's played to them, these vampires and dead people walking around. I see it as actual races and people today. And you can do this in your mind. Your mind can do all that kind of stuff. You can turn it around and play it the way you want. And that's what I do when I watch any of this stuff. And they say, well, you can't watch this Hollywood shit, this Jew shit, because it'll screw up your mind. No, you can watch it and mix it any way you want. And that's what I do. I see it the way I want to see it. Most of the time, the bad guys are my heroes. In this one series, they have a militiamen they found out behind an attack with this ricin poison, and they were putting it in the polling machines at the polling booth, and they had to call off the election because of it. Several people died. But that ricin made from the castor bean, I remember when that information was going around big time in the right wing. Somebody sent me a little pamphlet in the mail one time telling about it and how it works and so forth. But what are you going to do with it? You're going to have a revolution with a castor bean? Come on, guys. Get real. And they mopped them up real quick. Things like that are more for individual problems, like a cheating wife or something. Not for revolution. That bullshit they sent to the White House a few years ago, I went, what was that all about? And the guy they thought did it, pretty much was found out he didn't do it, but he did commit suicide. These are all things that are dreamed up in the back rooms of the Pentagon and the CIA and the FBI, these little crazy ass things. And they get a certain amount of people to go along with it, and they never get anywhere but dead or arrested. But they still spread that kind of stuff. Just take your castor bean, man. We'll have a revolution. Anything that's coming down the road again and it's coming at you, you're not going to go to it. Don't waste your time trying to go to it. Wait for it to come to you. Really, about the only book you need anymore is The Art of War by that Chinese fella, Sun Tzu, or what? Chop Sui, or what? What was his name? That, The Art of War pretty well says it all. I just had a fella on the internet say that he bought a lie detector from the China, and he told me what it was supposed to do, and he offered it to the leading Hollywood National Socialist leader that I'm not going to say his name because I don't have time to argue about that. But anyhow, the guy refused to take it or didn't want it. And I said, well, it's a waste of time to give that person a lie detector because he don't want to be put on a lie detector, is my opinion. And I said, I used that lie detector for 20 years, and I finally gave up on it because with 95% accuracy, about the best you can get, which seems great, but 5%, you could be getting rid of 5% of your people. And it may be your best people. I gave up on the lie detector. I do much better pulling files on people. Go down to your courthouse, Superior Court and so forth, and pull the files on them. They tell you a lot of things, especially marriage, divorce papers. It'll tell you a lot, like how we figured out an infiltrator in San Diego by pulling his divorce papers where his wife had sued to get half of his retirement money from the police department. That accomplished more in 5 minutes than any lie detector could. And in most states, you can go into the court and get into the files as a private citizen. You can go in there, felony files, civil files, misdemeanor files. You can go through them. Some guy wants to join up with you, that's the first thing you should do if you've got an organization. However, you got to understand that the powers that be have the ability to clean those files and make a guy clean that isn't clean, so that can be a dangerous situation too. I remember one infiltrator in Los Angeles that was running around, turned out to be a LAPD, and they'd gone into the files and taken all the good stuff out, and he was clean in the files, but he was dirty in fact. So a lot of times that doesn't work out either. Sometimes you have to use regular gumshoe work, following people. I've exposed a lot of people just by sitting on them like the cops do, and in a car across the street and watch who comes and goes at their place, things like that. That's a pain in the ass, you know, peeing in a bottle and all that kind of stuff, but it works. The right wing has never had the guts and the gumption to do stuff like that. They're lazy. That's one of the problems they don't win. Probably the Sinn Féin or the neo-Bolsheviks are not quite as lazy, especially some of the thinkers behind it. They go a long way to get information. Right wing doesn't do that. Oh, you're white, you got blue eyes, you're in, buddy. You're one of ours. Sorry, fellas, most white people around you are not yours. And if any heat's put on them, they're definitely not yours. Any heat comes down on them, they'll fold like a cheap accordion. Oh, you don't remember what an accordion was? A lot of people don't remember accordion. I love accordion music. In this series, Intelligence, they go one by one. They arrest a guy and turn him. Then they go to another guy and arrest him and turn him. And by the time they get done, they got the whole damn crew working for the government police. Because they just tell them, you're going to jail for 50 years. If you don't work with us. What's crazy about it, this is based on big-time marijuana smuggling. Marijuana. All this trouble, all these guys going to prison over marijuana. Jesus. Anybody out there remember Paul Conrad, the L.A. Times cartoonist years ago? I don't know. I'm sure he's probably dead now, but I've been in his home many times in the past, not as a converted racist, but I used to take care of his electronic equipment. You know, when I was a electronic repairman, they used to make a lot of fun of me in the news and media. But you know, that's one of the best ways to pick up information and meet people, is to go into their homes, any kind of service or anything like that. You can get into a person's home and have personal contact with them. You'd be surprised how much you can learn and how much you can gain. I've been in several of those Hollywood stars' homes and people like Paul Conrad. Douglas Sr., I used to go to his home. Douglas Sr. of Douglas Aircraft. I saw the gifts that Madame Chiang Kai-shek had given him. and we talked. It was interesting. I've known a lot of people like that. Of course, I had a top secret clearance too, not only in the military, but at in the missile division of Douglas Aircraft. So there you go, boys. I wasn't just that lonely TV repairman out there in Fallbrook, California. No. I worked in microwave work, communications in the military, and even, what do you call it? And when I was very young and going to school at the Signal Corps School in Fort Monmouth, New Jersey, for microwave repair, I was asked to go into countermeasures and the fixing and taking care of code machines down at Langley. And wouldn't they shit their pants if I'd have done that and they'd expose it several years later? Tom Metzger, working for the CIA, fixing their code machines. Ha, ha, ha. Of course, my brush with countermeasures was in Germany at the same time I was working with the microwave. Now, we had, this is sort of a side issue, but I worked at a radio station up on top of a mountain. There was only 8 or 9 of us up there. And that's back when communications was by dish, not satellite. We didn't have any satellites back then. And all the top security phone lines went through our station. Yeah. And some of them went right to Langley, Pentagon, so forth. Now, you couldn't break in and listen to those lines, but we had a lot of lines you could listen to. Very interesting stuff. It was a good source for women, too, because they had operators, phone operators, on those lines all over Europe. And we used to talk to them and make dates with them. And was it los, baby? And right outside the little chain-linked enclosure that we were in, of course, we had 100-foot towers with these dishes on, but right outside was a place called Koningstuhl Rock. And Germans used to come up there on Sundays and picnic and so forth. And Koningstuhl Rock, the Caesars had been there way back. And Adolf Hitler came up there and gave a speech one time, so it was quite a famous area. The only other thing that mountain was good for was military actions and training, and it wasn't abnormal for us to jump in a car to go down to the barn, come around a corner, be a tank right sitting right in front of us. It scared the shit out of me. They used that area for training. You know, the Republicans are really a funny bunch. They're always trying to convince everybody how much they love everybody. And behind the scenes, they're screwing everybody. And it drives the Democrats crazy. At least the Democrats are out in the open with it. They know where they're screwing everybody. The Republicans are always out there. We love the black people. We love the beautiful Mexican people. We love all these people. We wouldn't want to see any of them hurt by this crazy-ass Nazi party or Nazi this and Nazi that and the KKK, you know. How many KKK people are there really, you know? There can't be more than a few hundred in the whole country. And as far as the Nazis, so-called Nazis, these are not National Socialists. I don't accept them as National Socialists. They got to prove to me they're National Socialists. And so far, I haven't seen one group of so-called National Socialists or Nazis in this country that fill the bill. So anyhow, and yet the press and the neo-Bolsheviks use these guys as the target for all the bullshit, and the press build them up. You know it's phony because the media build them up like they're taking over tomorrow, and they're an infinitesimal bunch of people. I mean, you know, you can't con people if you're a small group or a small movement. You might as well admit it and try to recruit more. But the Hollywood Klan and the Hollywood Nazis keep trying to yeah, we are big and tough. We are big and tough, and we're going to take over. Yeah. And, of course, the media build them up like, yeah, they're going to take over. Yeah, we got to do something about it. And so then they changed the laws, so they shut down my website. They shut down about 100 websites. And I'll get a website back, and or I'll do it other ways. I don't ever worry about these things. There's always another path to the palace, as Rockwell said. Another path to the palace. Sometimes the path to the palace is through the basement. You got to use whatever tactic you have to use to survive. And don't cry about it. Don't whine about it. The right wing whines all the time. Oh, they're doing this to us. They shut my website down. They did this and they did that. And, you know, it's embarrassing to me. Fuck those people. They can shut down every piece of communications we've got and we'll still survive and prevail. You better believe it. Because the more they do that, the more radical many people become, you know. So maybe they're pushing people towards a mini revolution or insurrection. Maybe that's it. Could be.
Out of an abandoned GE plant. GE is the number one offshore of jobs. They send jobs overseas more than anyone else. And they're also one of the top recipients of federal contracts, right? So we can't keep doing that and expect to be able to create good jobs here in America.
Not only that, I mean, they're one of the companies that, you know, for a couple years had a negative tax rate. We were actually paying them to operate within our borders while simultaneously shipping jobs overseas.
That's right. We were paying twice, right? Once for the contract and then again for the tax breaks. And so, you know, this tour is about highlighting some of this, but also highlighting what the president promised during the campaign. During the presidential campaign, President Trump said he was going to stop offshoring, he was going to create more jobs, better wages, he was going to bring manufacturing jobs back to America. And that's what this tour is all about, is highlighting where some of those jobs could come back, highlighting the fact that our taxpayer dollars are being used to basically offshore American jobs, and how that needs to stop, and the president needs to keep the promises he made during the campaign.
Now you have Chuck Jones there from Carrier fame, you know, saying, look, you know, we need to get these jobs back here. We need to get the president to uphold his end of the bargain. But yet, you know, he attacked Chuck Jones, and you look at the situation at Carrier right now, those jobs that were supposedly saved are still going anyway.
That's right. You know, the president promised he was going to save these Carrier jobs just a couple of weeks ago. 300 folks got their pink slips. A few more are set to do that before the end of the year. So, you know, clearly this was not a promise that the president kept, right? And look, we're under no illusions that he's actually going to do it, but we need to push him to. And if he does do it, it won't be because of the goodness of his heart. It's because working Americans all over the Midwest and all over the country are pushing him to do it. Rick, if you remember, we did similar stuff with President Obama, right? Someone that was a little more friendly to labor and a little more friendly to working Americans. We pushed him to sign executive orders to raise the minimum wage to $10.10 to stop wage theft and other labor abuses on federal contracts. So we're doing the same with this president. And, you know, working people are hurting all over the country. We've heard from workers that spent, you know, 43 years working at GE here in Bloomington, Indiana.
Far from Indianapolis. And we did it outside of an abandoned GE plant. GE is the number one offshore of jobs. They send jobs overseas more than anyone else. And they're also one of the top recipients of federal contracts, right? So we can't keep doing that and expect to be able to create good jobs here in America.
Not only that, I mean, they're one of the companies that, you know, for a couple of years had a negative tax rate. We were actually paying them to operate within our borders while simultaneously shipping jobs overseas.
That's right. We were paying twice, right? Once for the contract and then again for the tax breaks. And so, you know, this tour is about highlighting some of this, but also highlighting what the president promised during the campaign. During the presidential campaign, President Trump said he was going to stop offshoring, he was going to create more jobs, better wages, he was going to bring manufacturing jobs back to America. And that's what this tour is all about, is highlighting where some of those jobs could come back, highlighting the fact that our taxpayer dollars are being used to basically offshore American jobs, and how that needs to stop, and the president needs to keep the promises he made during the campaign.
Now you have Chuck Jones there from Carrier fame, saying, look, you know, we need to get these jobs back here. We need to get the president to uphold his end of the bargain. But yet, you know, he attacked Chuck Jones. And you look at the situation at Carrier right now, those jobs that were supposedly saved are still going anyway.
That's right. You know, the president promised he was going to save these carrier jobs just a couple of weeks ago. 300 folks got their pink slips. A few more are set to do that before the end of the year. So, you know, clearly this was not a promise that the president kept, right? And look, we're under no illusions that he's actually going to do it, but we need to push him to. And if he does do it, it won't be because of the goodness of his heart. It's because working Americans all over the Midwest and all over the country are pushing him to do it. Rick, if you remember, we did similar stuff with President Obama, right? Someone that was a little more friendly to labor and a little more friendly to working Americans. We pushed him to sign executive orders to raise the minimum wage to $10.10 to stop wage theft and other labor abuses on federal contracts. So we're doing the same with this president. And, you know, working people are hurting all over the country. We've heard from workers that spent, 43 years working at GE here in Bloomington, Indiana, building refrigerators. The plant shut down in 2016. Some of those workers were left with nothing, right? So thank God they had a union that helped them, you know, get a little bit of a soft landing. But those jobs are gone, and no one's there to fill them. Some of these families had worked in that plant for a couple of generations, and those jobs are gone. So we need to make sure that we're able to create good jobs, and we should use our taxpayer dollars to do it, because if not, what's the point?
Absolutely. Now, you're asking the president to sign a model employer executive order. Walk me through what the difference between the model employer executive order and what Trump and the Republicans undid of Obama's executive order for safe workplaces in federal contracting.
Right. So look, the model employer executive order would essentially create incentives for companies. If they want to do business with the federal government, they need to pay a living wage. They need to provide benefits to their employees. And they should not fight their employees if they decide to form a union. It's very simple. We pushed President Obama to try to do this. We got the Fair Pay, Safe Workplaces executive order that you mentioned. It was designed to prevent wage theft and other things. It was actually one of the first things that President Trump and the Republicans in Congress undid through the Congressional Review Act, if you remember the discussion around that. And so, that's one of the key differences. I think if you look at what's happening at the state level, you know, CWA and our revolution are involved in this tour. CWA in particular has call center legislation at the state level and at the federal level, which is essentially the same thing, right? If you're going to do business with the federal government and you're a call center, you shouldn't offshore your jobs to the Philippines. And consumers should actually have an option to say, instead of press one for English, press one for a worker that's in America, right? It's an educational way of trying to get people to understand that sometimes when they're calling, even for benefits like Social Security or FEMA flood insurance, this is being done by a company that has a call center, and some of those calls might be answered from somewhere like the Philippines.
Isn't that insane? I mean, honestly and truthfully, and look, I don't have problems with workers in other countries, but the reality is if the federal government is spending tax dollars to provide services for citizens, they should at the minimum be spent here to raise conditions here. It just seems like common sense to me. But yet we see so much of this outsourcing fetish, so much of this low road kind of thought that, you know, you got folks who are pushing for the least common denominator.
Right, and look, if you look at some of the polling around this, I think whether you're a Republican, a Democrat, conservative, or liberal, everybody overwhelmingly agrees that our taxpayer dollars should be used to benefit workers here in America and not workers somewhere else. And so, one of the reasons we're doing this in the Midwest is there's a little bit of varied opinion, right? Good Jobs Nation started out in Washington, D.C., a sort of liberal town, but we're taking the show on the road, talking to folks that maybe aren't necessarily as liberal as us, but definitely agree that their taxpayer dollars, your taxpayer dollars, everybody's taxpayer dollars should be used to create good jobs with living wages, with benefits, and with the right to form a union right here in the United States of America.
Now, you know, here's the thing, and I'm sure maybe you've run across some Trump supporters, because look, I've been saying for a very long time, Trump ran on the labor message, which is sane trade deals, good paying manufacturing jobs, rebuilding the middle class. Now, granted, his actions so far have not led us to believe that he's going to pursue that and have not gone in that direction. But that was the rhetoric of the campaign and the rhetoric that I think a lot of voters in Ohio and Pennsylvania, in Midwestern sets, states, you know, bought into. Are you running across any of those folks who are saying, you know, I voted for this guy, I want him to do this stuff?
Absolutely. Look, I had a conversation with a gentleman on Monday when we were doing getting ready for the event in Indiana with Bernie Sanders. And he was very clear that he didn't support Bernie Sanders, that, you know, President Trump, who he had voted for, had only been in office for 7 months. We should give him a chance. But I said, look, you know, you think your taxpayer dollars should be used to create good jobs? He said, yes. You think those jobs should be here in America? He said, absolutely. So that's what we're pushing for, and you should jump in and join us. He didn't 100% agree, but I think we were able to move him a little bit. And, you know, I think, again, like I mentioned, everybody agrees that American taxpayer dollars should be used to create American jobs right here in America.
It seems sane. It seems rational. How can we get involved in this? How can people find more information?
Look, I mean, we've done two tour stops so far. We did Indianapolis on Monday. We just finished up Bloomington here with Liz Watson, who's running for Congress against Trey Hollingsworth here in the Congressional District 9 in Indiana. Folks can follow along on our Facebook page, Good Jobs Nation. You can follow us on Twitter as well, Good Jobs Nation. We've been live streaming, and we will live stream all the tour stops. We're heading to Racine, Wisconsin next Monday, August 28th. We will have an event with Randy Bryce, Iron Stash. You know, we're still nailing down a couple of details like the time and everything else, but if you go to our Facebook page, we'll have a big announcement there when we nail down the final details. And after that, we'll be heading to Youngstown, to Kalamazoo, to Dayton, and we're going to also do a big event in Erie, Pennsylvania during the big Labor Day festivities that happen there every year.
Good stuff, Paco. I appreciate you taking some time off from the tour to talk to us. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Rick. Appreciate it.
Again, Paco Fabian. Again, you know, what he said he was going to do seems sane. Seems pretty simple. I'd love to hear your thoughts. You can email me, Rick, at the Rick Smith.
Well, we had little problems there doing that, but we always do, don't we? Because I don't have a fancy Jewish engineer here to help me out. I'll tell you. Well, anyhow, that's from the left. I hate to use right and left because when it comes to the racial issue, saying right and left is a waste of time because we have to take what we can use from either side if we can use it at all. But I'm getting, and I have been getting for quite some time, my microphone's turned around here. For quite some time, I get a lot of my stuff from the alleged so-called left. And on this labor issue, I'm saying that the white racial separatists have to move from where they're at out from behind the Republicrats, because the Republicans are goddamn liars and they'll con you every time. You know, like Trump is going to do all this stuff, but he's not done hardly anything and people are still losing jobs like mad. So I turn over to straight labor speakers. And I get a lot of good stuff because we're not going to agree racially, that's for sure, but we don't agree racially with the Republicans either. So we've got to take information from where we can get it and use it. And if you're going to talk to the white working class, you've got to talk their language. And they're interested in jobs. I mean, that's what they're interested in. They got to feed their kids and buy their groceries and so forth. The right-wing racial movement really doesn't talk about that. They don't really get into the job situation, which leads me to believe they're sort of led by the hand of the wealthy Republicans, like the what's those two brothers? Koch brothers? Billionaires. You know, like Fox TV, they talk all the time about the sins of Soros, but they never talk about the sins of the Koch brothers. And the Koch brothers are just as dangerous to the white race, the white working class, as the Soros people. So you're not going to hear a lot of right-wing bullshit from me, I'll tell you, because I've always sided with the white working class. And the Republican Party is not the friend of the white working class. The Democrats, some of them are, and most of them are not in power, but there are guys on the left who are saying what needs to be said. And so, anyhow, that's my position. If people don't like it, they can kiss my white ass. I mean, no, I shouldn't say that. Just all this kind of stuff, you know, be perfectly honest, like I said, under Democrats, presidents, even Obama, the government didn't come down as hard on racial activists as the Republicans. Now, this mealy-mouthed attorney general is behind all this taking down websites. You can bet your bottom dollar he is, partially at least. So you got to find out who your enemies are, and don't let them con you into saying it's just the black working man or the Mexican working man and like that. You got much bigger fish to fry. And now I can hear some of the right-wingers come on. Ah, Metzger, I always knew he was a communist. I'm a Jack London socialist, really. He was my man. He was dedicated to the white working class, and he put his money where his mouth was. The only place where I disagree with Jack London, he finally came out and supported World War I, where the hardcore socialists didn't. And I certainly disagree with him on that. Well, go on up there to talk show and see what it's like, and if I run some interview shows as time goes on, if you want to be on there, I'll put you on there, but you got to be serious and smart and know what you're talking about. That's it for today. I'll be back tomorrow on Tears Day.
Strong people is the only